times the world seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Folks, hope does live on. The word tells us that hope does not disappoint. And hope in Jesus Christ never does. We welcome you to Hope is Alive. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, brother, and blessings from Oklahoma.
And good evening, Ralph.
Good evening, Richard. How are you this evening?
Abundantly blessed. Got a good snow coming down, probably about 3 or 4 inches already. It's that time of the year, and we are certainly blessed to get that. And anyway, so we're glad to be here. Praise the Lord. He is on the throne, and we'll, guys, we'll turn the program over to you. I'll sure be here, and looking forward to it.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Pastor, how are we this evening?
Well, I am blessed as usual, and I've heard that about you.
No, I am blessed abundantly over and over, living life abundantly, thanks to deliverance from our Lord Jesus Christ in my life.
Praise God.
Would you care to lead us off in prayer? That's something we've kind of neglected over the last couple of weeks. I think we should probably start this off with a short prayer every broadcast.
Sure. Well, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and Lord, we just continue to thank you for all the blessings we have under the new covenant that our Jesus brought us from the cross. And Lord, we just continue to honor you, to worship you, to glorify you, and to thank you for these blessings that through you, Jesus, we truly can live life abundant. So Holy Spirit, I just ask now that you would lead this and guide us and guide Ralph and any callers that would call in. We put you in charge, Holy Spirit, as you lead us in all truth. Thank you for your anointing that is here In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm getting a little bit of a feedback. Do you have something on in the background, Everett, by chance?
No, I don't.
Okay. I don't know, Richard. I don't know if there's anything you can do on your end, but I'm hearing something on my end.
Yeah, I've got everything muted here, other than you guys. So I don't know, but I'm getting a little something in the background as well, but I just don't know what it is. But I've got everything else on the board muted. But it's not too bad.
Okay. Well, we'll just take it to the Lord real quick. Lord, we bind anything that would prevent this broadcast from going out. We ask that your blessings be upon it, that you would send down tech angels to take care of it all. Lord, we put it in your hands to glorify you in Jesus' name. Well, Pastor, amen. Did you have any special cases this Monday before we get into testimony?
Pretty average evening. We didn't have that many. I'm beginning to think everybody's out Christmas shopping. I still know the need is much, so I had some good cases and ministered to a woman from San Antonio. I've got a guy coming in from New Jersey this coming Monday, and another one from San Antonio, that's where it is. And so we've already got 10 on the list for next week, and no doubt that'll build. This will be the last meeting, Monday night, a deliverance and healing service that we have until the 9th of January.
Well, praise God. You get a few people coming in before you take a break off for the Christmas season. You know, you had you'd sent out on, I guess it's the prayer team email, there was quite a testimony from a man. I know you sent it at least to me and a few others about a man who had found the Deliverance Ministry website, who had been having a lot of problems with alcohol, and he had went through, I don't have the email in front of me, I'm just going off memory, you might be able to remember more than I can here, but he went through it, and he said as he felt a release, he saw a dark, shadowy figure walking away. Do you remember which one I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. I got that email. In fact, I'll look at it here real quick, and I can read it. It was pretty neat, and, you know, that's the reason that we keep doing this. You know, quite frankly, if we didn't hear testimonies that we help people, we'd have quit this long ago. but that's the fact that we hear these amazing supernatural results. It drives us on to keep doing it. Yeah, I just pulled it up. I can read it. What came
in? Go ahead,
please. He said, today I went through the self-deliverance found on your website, talking about the Deliverance Ministries website, and under self-ministry. I am a severe alcoholic and was begging the Lord for deliverance when I found your website. I'm a retired cop from Texas, and I've never lost a fight, but I was starting to lose hope and just give up. I felt like I couldn't beat the addiction bondage I was in. I felt like I was doomed to die a horrible death soon. But I have a beautiful wife and two beautiful children who still love me, and I don't want to die. As I was following along with the pastor, with myself on the video, on the videos, I felt cold chills that would start in my torso and travel upward to my head. When the deliverance was over, I saw a dark shadow in the shape of a human walk out of my bedroom. It wasn't delirium tremens, because I know what they are, having experienced only a couple on occasions. This was not the DTs, because I'm sober right now and I'm not detoxing. I feel so much hope now. I have a long way to go, but I'm not scared anymore. God bless you and your ministry. And then he sent a follow-up testimony the next day. It said, thank you, Minister Cox. Yesterday was an unsettling experience, but the incredible fear, the depression, fleeting thoughts of suicide, that impending sense of doom are all gone. If you think my email testimony could help someone, then by all means, send it out. So praise God.
Praise
That's what drives
Lord.
Us on.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Now that, thank you, Jesus. That email, yes, thank you. That email really touched with me because I know what that man's felt because I've experienced it before in my life. And I know what he saw because I've seen him myself as well. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I believe it's providence. The Holy Spirit brought that man to that, knowing that I was going to give some of the testimonies of what I had witnessed in my life. There's a lot of people out there that may see these things or may blow it off as imagination, but it's not imagination. I know that Pastor Cox, with my conversation with him in the past, he has said that that's things that have been told over and over through the years. And I know through my own research of seeing these shadowy figures, I have found them that mainly called shadow people on the internet. And these are not things that was, I looked up and then experienced and had some sort of suggestion there. These were things that I had been experiencing for near 30 years of my life before I reached a state of deliverance. Well after my Christian walk, well after being baptism for the remission of sins, according to Acts 2:38, well after walking a life of, trying to my best, like a life of sanctified life, these things came. They came, and I never knew why. I believe I know why from the revealing of the Holy Spirit, studying from, obviously, Pastor Cox's book, but my own studying, and from even a book by Derek Prince, they shall expel demons. I would say that my first memory of anything of that was, I don't remember how old I was, but I remember at times being at my grandparents and looking outside their old screen doors, a really old house that was built in the early 1900s, and I can remember as a child communicating with someone outdoors, and there was no one there that anybody else could see, and it was often played off as an imaginary friend. And I know that some children can have imaginary friends with their own imagination, but I don't think that that was just my own imagination. I sit back and really had time to ponder it over the years and think about it. And I'm
it was
sure
probably
that
a spirit guide, probably
yes.
A spirit guide or familiar spirit,
mm-hmm.
that befriends children, especially those that might be lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And they take advantage of that situation to try to sound like they're a friend. Of course, they're planning to guide them down the wrong path.
Well, if that was the case, I was definitely guided at certain points in my life down the wrong path. And I don't want anybody out there to think, oh, well, Ralph's blaming it all on the spirits and it wasn't him. I was guilty of the sins I committed. I know I was guilty of those sins. But I also know now that I have been washed by the blood of Jesus and have been forgiven of those sins. So I don't dwell on any kind of guilt anymore or any self-condemnation, because there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. And I know that when it's forgiven, it's forgotten. And it was only the enemy that was constantly reminding me of it. So that is something that I know a lot of people deal with, that guilt of what they had done in life. So I just wanted to put that out to remind people, once you have been washed in the blood of Jesus, that sin is forgiven and it is forgotten.
Amen.
Amen. I would say that I don't remember exact ages on these happening. I've got an approximation of probably around 10 because of which dog we had. I remember we lost that dog when I was in sixth grade. So it was sometime before that. But, we had a back bedroom that I was in. I remember at one point being in my bed this was in the middle of the day, and the bed actually came off the ground a couple of times. I believe I was home alone that day. It was in the middle of the day, and it was a pretty disturbing thing. And shortly after that, I started having a paralyzing fear in my life growing up as a child of death, an absolute fear of it, not something that that would be, I would say, normal. I mean, most people have a normal fear of death, and thank God that he conquered, that Jesus conquered death at the cross, so we can no longer be held in fear of that. But as a child, I remember being up many, many nights crying about that, thinking about that, and so worried and scared of it, almost a compulsion. And shortly, sometime in that time, was when I first played with the Ouija board. Obviously, it was done in jest or joke, no big deal. It was at a party, at a birthday party up the street at a friend's house. And I know now that doors were open for that. And I also found out later that Ouija boards were also played by other members of my family, my mom and my dad. I knew about my dad's use, but I found out recently my mom had messed with one too. And, of course, we both repented of that for her right there. But these were things that happened as I was growing up. That dog that I was talking about, Faith, at Yellow Lab, I was left at home a lot because of my brothers being older and both of my parents working. That dog, Faith, would often growl at that back room when we were home alone at night. Would just sit there and growl. And I can describe it being so unsettling to me because I knew there was something back there, but I was so scared to always go back and see. And I never ever told anybody about it because I figured I thought I was going crazy. From my reading, Pastor, have you seen from your experience that animals do have a sensitivity to this? I mean, we do know that the donkey saw the angel in the Book of Numbers, but it seems to me, from what I have read and studied, that both children and animals can see the spirit world easier than adults can.
I think that's often the case, and I know they, of course, they smell better than humans typically, and we've had some of our ministers at Deliverance Ministries that could smell demons. They have kind of a gift. I don't seem to have that, but some of our team leaders from time to time that have helped us reported they could smell them, and I always thought they might be pretty good on a quail hunt, too. I could probably limit out pretty quick. never did get them out on a quail hunt, but they had an unusual nose, you know. But, yeah, mm-hmm. I think animals, many are that way, and so it behooves us to be sensitive to that and watch them. If they seem to be watching something in the house that you're not seeing, then might be time to take authority.
Yes, amen. Well, I'm going to skip up probably to about the age of 19 because those are the ones that really stuck out with me. There's been from time to time I've kind of thought about this memory would come and this memory would come, but the next thing that really, really stood out in my life, I was around 18 or 19. I can't remember if it was the summer after I graduated, the second summer. But I woke up one night in my bedroom. Now, this was the bedroom over, so it's not the same one. I woke up, and there was three shadowed figures above me. I could not see their faces. The best that I could explain it was they were wearing cloaks, kind of like you would... I guess the best visualization would be when you see the druids, the picture of the druids wearing their cloaks. But they spoke to me, and they spoke very plainly and clearly, "Ralph, we have come for you." And I remember jumping up. I screamed. It scared me. It scared me. And it was weeks before I could sleep settled again. And those things started happening more and more throughout my late teens and early 20s. One time in my 20s, when I was living in Kansas City at a friend's house, I was rooming with a friend, and he had a house that was there's no doubt about it was haunted. This is actually going to come up a little further in my life for more of the testimony. But in that house, I woke up one night, and in my doorway, I saw a shadowed figure. And it scared me so much, I thought someone was in the house. I jumped up, I slammed the door shut, and I crouched down and grabbed, I don't know, maybe it was a baseball bat or something. I don't remember what I grabbed. But I had slammed the door so hard that I knocked the door jamb out of the frame of the wall. And wow. My friend Dave, we've talked about this later, and I don't remember this. Dave said he remembers me hollering that somebody was in the house, and he was walking around with a gun trying to see it. And then he came up to the door, and he was like, he said, "Rufus, what did you do?" That's my nickname. If anybody ever seen my email out there, they'll notice it says Chef Rufus. But I just remember telling him there was somebody, and Dave just joked and said, "It must be the ghost again." And it was joked about a lot. When he had his house rebuilt, it had been destroyed in the flood of 93 up there in Kansas City, right along the levee there across from Leavenworth. And he'd had it rebuilt, and he'd hired this Mexican to do some work out there. And after the third night of being out there, that man would never return again. And we saw a lot of what people call crazy, weird things. Lights would come on, lights would go off. Things would be missing, and then they would be right where they left them. So these were common occurrences in that home. And I was trying to figure out what was going on in my life. I was so concerned about what was going on. I wasn't a Christian at the time. I'd always believed in God. I always believed that Jesus existed, but I wasn't a Christian. In fact, I was so convinced at one point that I started going to UFO seminars that I was suffering alien abduction. And I came across something this week. I just see the Lord putting things in front of me where it talked about alien abductions are demonic visitations. Have you had any experience with that ever? With people making
No, I haven't. I've read that kind of thinking. I read about it. I suspicion it could be, you know, and not surprised at anything. I just haven't had any direct experience. I have had a lot of experience with exercising of houses
mm-hmm.
and buildings, even mm-hmm. hospitals, and that's quite common. There's, you know, in our ministry, we get a certain number of calls about that kind of a problem, And the person on the street wouldn't hear about it that much, but a ministry like ours does. And
mm-hmm.
I have a chapter in my book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, on exorcising of houses, buildings, and land. And there's a checklist in there to follow on how to do that. And it's very successful. It seems to always work. You know, I just recently did one where a TV station, the Travel Channel, actually, had done a whole weekend of videoing of the apparitions taking place in this house. And then I went in there on Monday morning and cleaned out the house and spiritually. And
yes.
I've been in touch. In fact, the owner of the house has since come for ministry and her daughter as well. And she keeps reporting how there's peace in the house now. So, you know, we have this amazing power, Luke 10:19, power over all the enemy, and nothing will harm us. Most Christians don't know to apply it, and I was the same way until age 44. I didn't know anything about all this, and most Christians don't. I was born again when I was 13, but I never had any teaching on this.
Well, thank God you do have the teaching now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to kind of jump forward because I don't know if we'll run out of time with the commentary and stuff. But that house that Dave lived in, we'll come back to play here in a second. But I do want to interject this. During my search for truth, and I went to a couple of UFO seminars, the teaching that I got from there was a lot of this stuff is spiritually based. There's a strong correlation between UFO sightings and other kind of spiritual type sightings like Bigfoot and other things. But when I became a Christian, I had thrown it away because I just thought it was, that's just crazy. That's just crazy. And I wish I'd kept it, because when Pastor Peters had started doing The Alien Among Us and started talking more and more about the demonic realm, I started remembering all the things I had watched in those videos and thinking, wow, this would be a great illustration. That would be a great illustration. But I guess it wasn't meant for me to have it, or I would have hung on to it. But as I went through my 20s, and a lot of that to do with drug and alcohol abuse in my life, I started experiencing more and more sleep paralysis. And it was the sleep paralysis that was making me feel like that I was being abducted. And I don't know if anyone out there hasn't experienced it, but it's a real thing. This is not some scientific poppycock that I've seen on them try to explain off, well, this happens and this happens. No, it's real, and people experience it, and it's demonic. You feel your body is completely paralyzed. You cannot move. I could hear things. I could see things. I could see the shadow people. I never could make them out real clearly as far as a face or anything like that, but I could see the figures, and I could hear them. And as I became a Christian, they continued to come, but I was starting to learn about my authority in there. And I could get them to leave, but I couldn't get them to stay away. And I would call out to Jesus the best I could, and then we got to a point where I would feel a physical hand over my mouth to prevent me from saying Jesus' name. And this was happening on a regular basis there for a while. I would say it was happening once or twice a month, and it was quite a torment. There would be times that, you know, there'd be times where it stopped and it would come back. Now, I do know that after I repented and finally turned away from the drugs and alcohol, that it was, the frequency wasn't quite as much. But I just couldn't understand why these things were happening, even as a Christian. I'd held off telling so many people about it because I didn't figure anybody would believe me. Unfortunately, when I came into Christianity, I came into a false doctrine out there that demons are diseases, nothing more, and the devil isn't real, it's all in your mind. What I was experiencing, I knew, wasn't in my mind, but I kept it to myself because I figured, well, that must be the case. I just don't understand my Bible. But as I kept reading my Bible, I kept thinking to myself, well, this can't be true. This can't be true, because here's an example of Satan here, an example of a demon there. So thank goodness I don't follow that false doctrine anymore, and be able to realize that I was being tormented and heavily demonized. In 2014, I had reconnected with my friend Dave, and went up to Kansas City to visit him while I was working. And while I'm on the road, I live in my van. And I went ahead and just stayed in my van while I was there, just asking him if I could run an extension cord. And that night, I had not met his wife and his children, because he got married after I'd met him. I mean, after I left living in his house. And we were sitting there talking, and he had brought up the ghost of the house. And I had really not thought much of it over the years, in a while. And this happens to coincidence. It happens to be right after I had just read Derek Prince's book, They Shall Expel Demons. So I was really starting to understand what was going on. We had made a few jokes. I kind of laughed about it a little bit too. And we had went to bed, and I had laid down in my van, turned off the light, because I'm reading or watching something, I don't remember, it was something. And in the middle of the night, I woke up to my name being called. That's not the first time in my life I ever woke up to my name being called. And I leaned up in my van on the bed, and in front of me was a face. It startled me so much, I started throwing punches at it. I thought there was somebody actually in the van with me. And when I realized that I had a full manifestation of a demon in there, I remember pointing my finger at it and said, "And geez," I actually yelled at him. I've now learned from the pastor here that they got pretty good hearing, and you don't necessarily need to yell at them. But sometimes you just think louder is better. But I remember yelling at him and telling him in Jesus' name to go. And a curious thing would always happen when these things would come, especially as I was learning more and more to fight them, is I could never find my glasses. And I'm extremely nearsighted, so it's hard for me to see with detail. And I never could find my cell phone so I could call someone to pray them away. Well, I the Holy Spirit's revealed to me that the reason I could never find my cell phone is He was trying to teach me to do it myself and not pray it away, but command it away. But I looked outside my van, and I could see what looked like to me vapors flying all the way around my van. Now, I had called down angels to protect me, and I was also starting to learn not to ask the angels, but to command the angels, not ask God to send them, because as we've been teaching at Hebrews 1:14, they are minister servants of fire. In fact, most of the first chapter of Hebrews 1 tells you what the angels are there for, and I highly recommend everyone to go back and reread it and realize the authority we have over angels, that they will listen to us, they're at our disposal, on our command, and we do have that authority to bring them down to help us. I wasn't sure what I was seeing. I just figured I was seeing demons out there, but I had two different Christians discern that what I was seeing was the angels outside on guard protecting me. But the next morning, everybody else had gotten up out of bed and left. They get up a little earlier than I do. They have to AM jobs, home to school, and get the children to school. I decided that I was going to anoint and clean Dave's house out. So I got ready. The door was locked, so I couldn't go in there. I got ready outside my van. And I had some anointing oil, and I walked up on the porch. And I anointed the doorpost and lintel, and I think I just pretty much lathered it up with some good oil. But anyway, I don't remember exactly what I prayed, but when I commanded the name of Jesus, whatever was there to come out, his dogs went nuts inside. Now, his dogs did not make a sound when I got up on the porch. They made no sound whatsoever when I was anointing the door. I was making plenty of noise. They had to know someone was out there. So I've always, I believe they saw what left. That's why I was mentioning the animals earlier. I wholeheartedly believe that. And later that day, I had witnessed when I came back, I had witnessed to Dave what happened. And I remember Dave saying, "Well, that's weird. They've never been violent before." He referred to him as they. So he must have believed there was more than one ghost, as he called it there. And I told him, I said, "This isn't something to joke about." And I said, "The reason they had never gotten violent is because no one had been a threat until I showed up." And I believe that. They knew that there was someone in authority. I think they understand I know they understand our authority as well, that they have to obey when we come in the name of Jesus. And I had cautioned him to not invite him back, or it'll make it worse than before, and not to joke about it anymore, and to tell him to go in Jesus' name. So that was in 2014. In 2015, right around right after the Branson gathering. Now, by this time, I had been studying that book quite a bit, and I'm not sure if I've been introduced to your stuff yet, or not, Pastor. But I was starting to walk more in my authority. But the night after the gathering, my wife and children had gone out to the campground to visit her dad. He always comes down at the beginning of summer and camps with us. It's always right after the gathering, and I was home alone in my bed in my bedroom at the house. And that night, I cannot count the amount of times that I had got up and saw the shadow people again. But I had woken up to them by a voice. Now, this time, this voice was different. This voice was not the voice that normally wakes me up. It was the voice of a brother in Christ. It was so clear that that it sounded just like a brother in Christ. And I looked up, and there was something in my room, but this was not the shadow figures. I truly believed it was an angel who had woke me up. And I believe he used a voice that I would, a familiar voice, so it wouldn't be so startling to me. But anyway, I looked over, and through my bedroom door, there was the shadow people. And I can't tell you how many times I would tell them to go, lay back down, get woke up, tell them to go, lay back down, wake up. And again, I was trying to find my glasses so I could see clearly, and they're not there, not on my nightstand. I couldn't find the phone. I was going to call a prayer partner and get rid of them, help to try to get rid of them. And I pointed, it was finally the time, I remember saying, Jesus, I can't do this. I need help. And the last one I pointed at, I pointed my finger at it, and that was the first time in my life I spoke in a tongue. And
wow.
They didn't come back again that night. But that was the first time in my life I spoke in a tongue. And I was able to get to sleep. But I just remember it being so taxing and exhausting on me that morning when my wife came home to get ready for work, because the campground's not that far, you know, right off there off Lake Table Rock. She comes home and makes a joke, grabs the cover, says, "Oh, wake up, sleepyhead," or something like that. And she looked at me and she goes, "Ooh, gross, you're covered in sweat." She said, my whole shirt was sweaty. So that whole thing had been taxing on me and physically taxing on me that night. Those were the most recent that I can remember. And in August of 2015, when several of us in the ministry come out to visit you, I know that I've shared some of this with you. I don't know if you remember or not. Right before we had left, I had something happen in my life that was quite a betrayal from somebody, and I was struggling with at that point with really heavily struggling with forgiving. I was having trouble concentrating. I remember being out for the ministry work, kept thinking, "Lord, I don't know how I can do this. I can't stop being angry with this person. I can't stop." I was very distracted, and the night before we had come to visit Pastor Cox, and I had never met him before at this point. I'd only been familiar with his work. I had had a dream. I was in the hotel room. I was having this dream, and I had this dream in my imagination how a deliverance session was going to happen. And I was, at this point, I was looking forward to going through a deliverance session. I wanted this torment to stop. I was tired of seeing the shadow people. I was tired of the voices. I was tired of the torment, and I wanted it to stop. But what's amazing, the dream, and I've told us about this, we'd met you the next day for lunch, you were wearing the same outfit that I saw in a dream. And I had never met him before, so that really stood out with me, that the Lord was working and helping. But anyway, I had woke up to that voice, that all-familiar voice that would call my name, and when I woke up, I'm a side sleeper, I was being pressed down in my bed by a hand on my shoulder. And I want people to know at this time, I was understanding we had authority over him, and I was no longer scared of him. I was just tired of him coming and waking me up and bugging me. And I just remember saying, "In Jesus' name, go." It was just as simple as that. It was more like a sigh, "In Jesus' name, go." And the hand got off, and I got up, and I remember going to the bathroom and washing my face, sleep out of my face, and thinking to myself, I think I even spoke it, "Lord, how much longer do I have to take this? How much longer?" And when I laid back down in my bed, I don't know if I pulled the covers over or not, but went over to my side, and I woke up, and in my bed, I saw a rattlesnake, a coiled-up rattlesnake. And I just remember looking at it, and it was just as nonchalant as this. "In Jesus' name, go." And it dematerialized. The only way I can explain it is when you'd see the people on the transporters with Star Trek. That's the only way that I can explain mm-hmm. it. I love my sci-fi, so I use those a lot for examples. But anyway, we had an awesome deliverance session. I'm sorry, go ahead, Pastor.
Well, I was just going to say that just shows the power again that we have in Jesus' name when you speak to the demonic. And, of course, as I like to point out, you were not praying to the Father in Jesus' name to do something. You were speaking to it directly as Jesus commanded us in Mark 16:17. And sure enough, that power goes forth, and you were hitting the enemy just like that rattlesnake demon just dissipated.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes. Yes, praise God. And, of course, I went through a deliverance session in Pastor Cox's office and then went through a deeper one in, later that evening at the where they hold the meetings. And the reason I bring this out is we're not folks up there. This is not someone that we know. We don't know. I know a lot of people listen may have met me or know me, have heard my voice on the radio several times. I wanted to bring this out. This is someone you know. This is not somebody I heard of or somebody. Oh, I know this guy. This is somebody that listeners out there that I'm hoping that you know and see that these things are real. They do happen. I do know from what I've been studying, what's been discerned, and things revealed to me by the Holy Spirit, a lot of these things I was dealing with are generational. I had a lot of Masonic members in my family, both from the Masons and the Eastern Star, on both sides of my family. I have my dad was heavily involved in a combination of Catholicism and Indian mysticism. I believe that he opened up a lot of doors generationally, and they had very possibly been suffering from generational doors himself. There was a lot of drug abuse and use in my life growing up. There was a lot of immorality as far as fornication in my younger part of my life. There was obviously the opening of the Ouija board. I played Dungeons and Dragons when I was younger. I even did some martial arts for a while, and you know, I did it for stress relief and exercise. But as I know now, a lot of those, I can't even remember what they're called, but you do those positions and poses.
Yoga.
Well, that yoga. No, I never practiced yoga. It was actually Taekwondo. But those things that you do, they each have a meaning, and I'm sure that it's praying to another god, a false god. So these things are out there, and don't, if you are suffering from it, don't think that you're crazy. Take your authority and command it to go. And that's one thing about when you go out to deliverance ministry or even use the website materials, which
the video,
which can be found at deliveranceusa.com, they have you speak the words. It's not Pastor Cox closing the door for you. He's having you speak the words of repenting of this, repenting of that, and you are actually taking command because you are the captain of your ship, speaking the word, speaking directly, in Jesus' name, this go. In Jesus' name, that go. The ministers are there to guide you, lead you, and help you, but for the most part, they are empowering the Christian to take the authority in their own hands and speak it out. And that's just the most amazing thing that's there. And this is so great because the shadow people are gone. They haven't come.
Hallelujah.
Back. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I found out after sharing this with my son and some of his friends and another adult, my son told me later he was experiencing the same things. So this was a generational thing. They were coming after me. And then talking with my mom, she's experienced not necessarily the same things, but she said she used to see a troll. And she thought she was crazy. And that troll would point and laugh at her and run around, and she would look and it wouldn't be there. And I know my dad saw things because he told me. And my dad had I believe there was a spirit of a divination upon my dad through the things he had opened, because my dad foretold the future in a lot of things. And of course, my dad was also spent three tours over in Vietnam. And I know, Pastor, we have talked about this. I believe those people have gone over the far east over there, brought back things with them.
Yeah, that happens a lot. And people that even travel the world a lot pick up mm-hmm. artifacts here and there, not realizing mm-hmm. there can be curses on those things. And or sometimes they represent witchcraft or Buddhas or what have you. And demons will hang around that when they bring them back at their house.
Yes, yes. And my dad finished up his tour in the Army. He's a career, I can't remember how many years he did in, but he retired in the Army pretty close to 30 years. And he finished up as a chaplain's aide. And it was his duty to learn all the religions. And I think that his studying into too much of all the religions may have opened some more doors, too, because he had to be there for, you know, if they were a Mormon, had to help him with that. And there's a lot of doors for open in Mormonism. And I'm sure there was other things. But my dad was very tuned to it, the sensitivity. My mom, my Uncle Ralph, who's long passed, both my dad and Uncle Ralph are both gone. My Uncle Ralph saw many things. And of course, he didn't realize it to me. He died when I was 9, but then the stories relayed to others. There has been a sensitivity in my family, and my son has it as well, too. And I believe my daughter has, not nearly to the point my son has, but a sensitivity. And I know I've talked with you, Pastor, that sometimes that sensitivity seems to follow through bloodlines and as passing on a gift, just like someone might be really athletic, they pass on their athleticism, they pass on their gift to be able to see things more sensitive. So it's not that I'm special or I'm a greater sinner or whatever that brought these on. It's just it happens to be a gift that's in my family that we can feel and see things. And my mom is extremely sensitive to it, which I know Pastor Cox has kind of laughed a couple of times about how much she coughs that one time. But of course, mom was laughing and said, "Is anybody else in this room going to cough?" but those have been there. And I just wanted to bring this out so people know. Maybe from some, they can say, okay, well, I know Ralph. I've met him. I know his character. I know that he's been covered by the blood, baptism for the remission of sins, has walked that life. And folks, this stuff happened long after my baptism. I was baptized 11 years ago, and this was happening as a relatively occurrence and seemed to get more and more as I got more closer to the deliverance. And I think they were trying to keep me from going. And there was even a time I tried backing out and going. And praise God, I had a brother in Christ who did not let me shirk my duty and stayed on me till I went. If not, I could still be suffering from these things.
They are really good at blocking people, talking them out of coming, you know, with thoughts. They push thoughts into their heads. They think it's their own thinking. Well, it's from the enemy, but it's like, don't go there. People will think you're weird. You know, all kinds of negatives to try to block them, and they do a pretty good job at it. We have a certain number of people that get scheduled for ministry that they don't make it because the enemy talked them out of it.
And that's a shame, but it does happen. And probably one of the best illustrations I could think of hearing different voices communicating with you would be, you know, we've all seen the cartoons where you have Fred Flintstone, or I know Tom and Jerry would see it too. You'd have the little angel of Fred Flintstone on one shoulder and then the little devil of Fred Flintstone on the other. And one mm-hmm. would be giving you this godly advice. The other one would be saying, "Nah, don't worry about it. You can do it." And they were so. There would be times I was convinced that it was my own thoughts. That it was so mm-hmm. that I could hear so clearly, and I know now by looking at it that I was being demonized. I was heavily demonized. When I filled out that the problem sheet, I had made a joke. I think it'd been easier to white out the things I didn't have a problem with. But it's I just want people to know out there that if they're struggling with these things, yes, the flesh will the old flesh will kind of want these things from time to time, but that old flesh, the old man, has not had that earning and yearning to do things since I went through deliverance, and it was a constant struggle to want to drink again, a constant struggle to want to do drugs again, a constant struggle to dabble in pornography. There was just so much things that were there that I knew was wrong. I would do it, and I would repent, and I would be in tears, couldn't look myself in the mirror and swear, God, I won't do it again. And then it'd just be a matter of time. I'd start hearing that voice. Well, what, you know, one time ain't gonna hurt. And I'm sure you've heard these testimonies before, Pastor. But yeah. that's literally the way it was. So I really want to encourage people out there if they're having any kind of issues like this. And I was so encouraged to hear that testimony, that email, because I could relate to that man. I could relate to him. I didn't want to live like that anymore. I didn't want to be that way. I didn't want to have the thoughts of I would be better off dead. I didn't want that. I wanted to be delivered, but had no idea how. But praise God, we do know how. It's laid out in Scripture. It's just a matter of someone teaching. Yes, sir.
Ralph, think how many are out there with those same problems.
Amen, yes. Many. That's why we do this show. That's why we do this show, that we know that the Holy Spirit can lead someone to the right station on shortwave, or to come across on the internet, or put in the right keywords, or even put in the wrong keywords, and yet the Holy Spirit makes Google pop up what it wants it to hear and wants them to read and see. So that's why we do this show, to testimony of people that have suffered from problems, able to go through deliverance, to realize that they have had the power all the time. You know, I think of it, I guess it was Philip, and he was talking to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he said, well, how would I know unless there was someone to teach me? And that is what Pastor Cox and those ministers there have been doing for 38 years, is teaching people. And we want to teach people, leading up to a caveat here kind of a little infomercial to let people know that we are doing a conference for men who want to learn this in January. The dates are 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. It is in Oklahoma City. If you feel the move of the Holy Spirit to be part of this, and folks, this is part of a revival plan of God. We have been seeing the Holy Spirit work through multiple ministries and doing revival to free a nation of its bondage. We are taking this Hope is Alive, taking deliverance worldwide. That's our goal. Our goal is to see 500 deliverances or more a week being performed in this country. But if you want to, if you feel the call to be part of this, want to learn more about deliverance and learning how to perform it, please drop us a line at info@deliveranceusa.com. Again, it's info@deliveranceusa.com, and we'll give you all the information you need to know about attending. Again, it's January 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, and it is not necessary for you to be there all 4 days. If you can be there two, fantastic. If you can be there one, fantastic. But we are going to have the tools available to help people, because I know there are people across this land that are suffering. Just sit outside of Walmart and you'll see how demonized our country is by walking in and out. You see people with the pierced up, tattooed, different colored hairs, the way they dress. You'll see people bent over with spirits of infirmity. I mean, Pastor, when you were growing up, do you remember anybody walking around with oxygen bottles?
No, I do not.
But you see them everywhere. See them everywhere.
Yeah.
And this isn't just bad health. These people are in bondage. They're in bondage to their infirmities, in bondage to their sicknesses, in bondage to their sins. You never saw it. And about every other person, it seems like, just by sitting at a Walmart, has an oxygen bottle, and they can't even walk. And we want to see those people delivered and set free, not to be as the woman who had all her money taken away. In the New Testament, the Gospels, that woman that had all of her money taken away by the doctors with that hemorrhaging, with 18 years of hemorrhaging, if I remember correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there are people who have been probably on oxygen for 18 years, taking this pill, taking that pill, and still not any better than the day they first went to visit the doctor. We know that there are people like this man from Texas, this police officer, who in the physical, he said, I've never lost a fight. I would bet being that he's a police officer probably could work me over pretty good in a hand-to-hand combat. He's probably a strong man, probably well-trained in self-defense. But here he is talking about being defeated in the spiritual. But praise God, he found the tools and is walking in it. And praise God if he shows up to get further deliverance. And I would like to even have get this man on as a testimony someday, because I have watched people die of alcoholism. I've seen what it can do to them. That's the way my Uncle Ralph had died. He just could not quit drinking. The man was a Christian, but he could not quit drinking, and it killed him. It shut his liver down, and it killed him. And I'm watching another friend who is battling with it. I've sat with him in a hospital room with the DTs, the shakes. It's not a pretty sight. And I keep talking to him and talking to him about deliverance, but the enemy is preventing for him to go. So he has said several times he's going to come out with us. It's not that I can't perform the deliverance myself, but as Pastor will tell you, that most people have a better session if it's with a complete stranger. So that way they won't be so hesitant to confess things that maybe they're embarrassed at other people that no one would know about. So, Richard, how are we doing on time?
Well, I was just sending you a text. We're just about out. About time to play the music.
Nope, that be the text there. I just heard it. Well, I hope this my testimony helped others. Again, thank you for your labor, Pastor, and thank you for allowing me to come on and say a few words. I guess when I'm the co-host, I can say as much as I want.
Well, amen. And no doubt there's listeners out there that can relate to what they heard tonight, and also they heard how there's answers.
Again, that's deliveranceusa.com, all the tools there for the self-ministry. Also, we got the book, Do the Supernatural Works of Jesus, by Pastor Cox. It can be reached at Scriptures for America or off deliveranceusa.com. And, folks, we appreciate you being here tonight with us, and good night, gentlemen.
God bless you.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beacon shining bright. So strong. When there is silence, hope gives a song. Out there in hay world, it seems so wrong. Hope lives on. I still recall that bright September morn when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn. Like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be when the darkness came to take our hope away. Hope is alive. Just heat's in the night. There's still a beacon shining bright. When we are weak, hope makes us strong.